So Sri Aurobindo summarizes in a few words the earliest preoccupation of man in his awakened thought. Which survives, that occupation does not die down. Every period of skepticism is followed again by the return to the same preoccupation. Now, this is a very great reading of the history of mankind. I have told you the tradition of India at length. I have not told you sufficiently the tradition of the West. That remains to be done. And in due course, I shall come to that aspect also, because you should have both the tradition of the East and the tradition of the West. And then you can appreciate this sentence very much. You have seen the tradition of India starting with the Veda, and a constant term in the Veda is the last four words which are written in the paragraph. God, light, bliss, freedom, immortality. The entire Veda is nothing but filled with these four or five words. God, light, freedom, immortality. It's a repeated refrain in the Veda. So it is a proof that right from the beginning, man has been preoccupied with these four things: God, light, freedom, immortality. Now, if you read the Western tradition, we shall come to that in due course, then you will find the same preoccupation. Yesterday we had a very good discussion on Odysseus and Iliad. And we are reading the story of Odysseus, the story of Iliad. And the one theme that was common was the interest of gods in the world, participation of gods in the world, intervention of gods in the world. The whole preoccupation of these two great epics of Greece, written by Homer, is with Godhead. All gods are recognized as immortal. In these two epics, the theme of immortality is present. There is intervention all the time of light. There is a theme of bondage of man and freedom of man. So once again you find in these two great epics the same preoccupation: God, light, freedom, immortality. Now, this is the earliest times. One of the earliest thinkers in the West was Plato. And the most important element of Plato is his theory of the good. The highest, according to Plato, is good. When we study Plato, we shall find out what is the meaning of the good. According to him, the good is what you normally mean by God. There's a difference between God and good, but in broad terms, in rough terms, by good he means what we mean by God. the supreme, that which is comprehensive of everything, beyond which there is nothing else. So the quest for the good is the summation of the entire philosophy of Plato. His emphasis on immortality is so great that Bertrand Russell, you have heard the name of Bertrand Russell perhaps. I brought a book by him here. It is called History of Western Philosophy. Bertrand Russell is one of the great thinkers of our own times. He passed away only a few years ago at a very ripe old age. And to my mind, he represents a culmination of one line of thought, not every line of thought, but one line of thought. If you run on one line that he has choked out, he marks a culmination. He himself can be called a skeptic of a kind. He does not believe in God, immortality, and all that sort of thing. So he marks that line of thought in which God, immortality is banished. And yet he, when writing on Plato, he has given one full chapter. I don't know if you can read from here. Plato's theory of immortality. This is one of the proofs that one of the most ancient thinkers of the world, he was occupied with the theme of immortality. I am showing you this because as young students, you should have in your mind a real concrete understanding that this sentence that Sri Aurobindo has written is an authentic statement. Word by word it is accurate. And this is Sri Aurobindo's speciality. Every word of Sri Aurobindo is authentic. And I am saying this not because I am his disciple, but I am his disciple because he is so authentic. It is the other way around. Every word of Sri Aurobindo you find, it is measured, accurate, authentic, illuminating. As Sri Aurobindo said one time, in 1912 or 1914, in which he said, I want to show to mankind truth in its entirety without any error. This was his promise to the world before he started writing The Life Divine and other works that we are familiar with. I want to show to people the truth without any error. And you can, when you read Sri Aurobindo, always keep in mind and try critically to examine whether this great promise is fulfilled or not. And always you will find rewarded. You will find not a single comma even is out of place. It is so authentic. And therefore you find here, when he speaks of the earliest preoccupation of the Veda, you know quite sufficiently well. Now of the West, I am showing you, one of the earliest thinkers of the West is Plato. And his main occupation was his theory of immortality, which is acknowledged by a philosopher of the present kind, present time, who was himself a skeptic. He did not believe in immortality. So he does not bring it out of any partiality towards Plato. Actually, he is a great critic of Plato. But Plato's emphasis on immortality is so great that he cannot escape. So he has to give one full chapter to that aspect. So both in the Eastern tradition and in the Western tradition, there is this emphasis upon immortality. Then you examine the whole history of mankind. This is the reason why I have said that we should have one full session or six sessions at least on world history, because I would like you to study world history in this context. If you study the whole history of mankind, it is nothing but a perpetual song of God. If you really see from above, stand above the time, the stream of time which has been going on, and if you are like a bird, if you stand above and fly above the time, then you will see the murmur of the whole river of time singing the song of God. It is nothing but a song of God. You read the whole history of mankind, the whole occupation of man is God. Even when you doubt, and doubt so strongly whom, your preoccupation is with God. Doubt God. You can't escape Him. Even when you want to escape from Him, you doubt whom. For doubting, you should be occupied with Him. The whole history of mankind is connected with God. You take the Middle Ages. I spoke of the ancient times. You take the Middle Ages. What are Middle Ages? One of the main events of Middle Ages was Crusades. Crusades were the wars between Muslims and Christians. And both of them believe in God. But the way in which they believed, they wanted that the whole world should accept that belief. They were so concerned with their own belief of God that they want all others to accept exactly the same belief, and therefore the wars. Although both believe in God, but their occupation was so strong that each one wanted his belief of God to be accepted by everybody else, and therefore wars. Terrible wars between two groups of religious people, in which not only religious people but even kings and soldiers and men and women all were involved in these wars. So you might say Middle Ages was nothing but a great occupation with God.